Bibles, please, to the book of John, the first chapter, John chapter 1, page 1114 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll read verses 6 through 14. We'll read the verses responsively, beginning with verse 6, until we've read through the 14th verse. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's read the last verse there together. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 11th and 12th verses of that passage are the text verses for tonight's message. Let's pray. Bless now, we pray, dear Father, the message, and we're thankful that we have a place together. We're thankful that we have a book that's true, and we're thankful to have a Savior who's real. We're thankful for these people with whom we fellowship, and in a special way, we're thankful for our preacher. Open our ears and our hearts now to the message, and bless with thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
We come to the message, and of course, because it comes from a simple preacher, it'll be a simple message. But because it comes from a sincere preacher, it'll be a sincere one. And I pray you'd bless us together. May we love our Savior more because we've come tonight. Amen. I was born in a little town of about 1,000 people. And still about 1,000, 12, 1,300 people, I guess. One of the little typical American towns has a main street, and that's all. And a few stores been operated with the same family through the years for numbers of generations. If you drive down the main street of a little town called Italy, Texas, where I was born, you drive down through town and you come just as you start to turn left to go toward the highway to go to Dallas, 40 miles north. You'll come to a little triangular parkway there, a little kind of a park. No swings, it's not no ball diamond, just a little place, greenery place. It must be the size of, oh, my soul. It must be big as this platform, a little bigger. And in that little triangle thing there, you'll see two monuments. One of those monuments is in honor of a war hero that was from Italy, Texas. And the other monument has my name on it. It's in honor of this preacher. And it makes mention there that I pastor the largest church in the nation, the largest Sunday school in the world, something. And it's there in the town of my birth. I left that city, a little city, when I was a year and a half. I took my mother and father with me. And I left. And but I can go back there tonight. And I can look at that it must be that high monument, has my name on it, in the city of my birth. And I would be respected if I were there. And I can walk down the street and folks will know who I am. And some people will recognize me by my face and some by my name. And others will recognize me because the Hiles family is from that area down there. And perhaps maybe I would favor some of the others. I would not say that everybody in Italy, Texas loves me, but I would say I am respected in the town of my birth. If I went tonight to out in the ghetto section of Dallas, Texas, what used to be the ghetto section, I'm sure it still is, out in southwest Dallas, a little place out there called Lisbon, It's where I grew up from my, and just north of that's a place called Trinity Heights. It's a little higher class ghetto than Lisbon is. And in fact, Trinity Heights would not be a ghetto. It'd be a, in those days, I'd say it'd be maybe middle class, lower middle class, financially and socially. And but if I went to Lisbon and Ortiz, that part of Dallas, numbers of folks would know me, and they would love me. In fact, I can preach anywhere in the area, and folks from all over the area come because I grew up in southwest Dallas. If I went tonight down to East Texas, a little town called Marshall, Texas, where I pastored my first full-time church. I pastored a college church where we drove every Sunday up on the weekend. But the first time I ever lived on the field and did not have to work secularly for a living was the Grange Hall Baptist Church outside of Marshall, Texas. If I went back and walked down the streets of Marshall tonight, some folks would know me. Hundreds and probably several thousand folks would know who I am, and they'd be glad to see me, many of them. I wouldn't say I don't have enemies there, but my memory there their memory of me is pleasant. You go to the bank and you'll find that I paid my debts and paid them on time, and you'll find I had a good credit rating. You go any place in town where I ever bought anything, and they'll tell you that I paid on time my payments and that I was an honest person. You go down 37 miles south of there, a little town called Henderson, Texas. It wasn't there long, but I could go back tonight and I could be respected. And any church that I've ever pastored would be glad for me to come and preach for them tonight. And in Henderson, Texas, not long ago, they dedicated a new building, and they wrote and they begged me to come. I could not come. They begged me to come. They wanted me to be a guest, an honored guest there at the dedication of their new building. If I went tonight and visited Garland, Texas, where I pastored before I came here, I can walk down the streets of Garland, and though I was not the most popular person in town because of my conviction, you won't find anybody there that'll say I didn't pay my debts on time. You can talk to the folks who are mayors of the city or city councilmen when I was there, and they'll say I was a respected citizen, and I'd be welcome. There's something about that that I treasure. I can walk down the street of any neighborhood, everywhere I ever live, and they'll say, they may say, I don't agree with that fellow. And they may say that man is narrow-minded and he's a fundamental bigot. But I guarantee you, they'll say, there goes an honest man. And there goes a man that pays his debts. And there goes a man that walked the streets and kept the laws and was respected, even by those who were his enemies. Not so with our Lord. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible is the one of our text tonight. He came into his own, and his own received him not. We'll focus all of our attention tonight on that little passage. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Now, anybody that knows anything about the Bible, especially the Greek, they know that those two little words, two little statements, his own, are not the same. They look the same in the English, but they're not the same. He came unto his own. Now, that first his own is in the neuter. And his own received him not. That's in the masculine. Which means he came unto his own things. He came unto his own places. He came unto his own possessions. And his own people received him not. What the scripture means is he came into that which was his and his people wouldn't let him have it. He came to that which he created and his people wouldn't let him have it. He came to that which was his and that which he owned and that which is a part of his kingdom and his people received him not. He came into his own nation received him not. He came to his own trees and those that sat under their shade received him not. He came to his own hills and those that climbed them and descended them received him not. He came unto his own flowers and those that enjoyed their fragrance and their beauty received him not. He came unto his own valleys and those that had cared for their sheep in those valleys received him not. He came unto his own, his own things, and his own people received him not. May I have your attention, please, as I discuss with you this passage. He came into his own birthplace, and his own people received him not. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. That little town nestled there in the Judean hills, just about 10 miles or so south of Jerusalem, made famous because of the birth of our Savior. The shepherds watched their flocks by night, and the angels came and sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Every lamb that meandered on those Judean hills belonged to him, but his own people received him not. The hills on which they rendezvoused belonged to him, but his own people received him not. The grass on which they grazed was made by him, but his own people received him not. The lily that decorated the hill was the object of his creation, but his own people received him not. The sparrow that brought the cheerful note was the object of his creation, but his own people received him not. The Judean stars that canopied his birth were made by him, but his own people received him not. The angels that announced his coming were creatures of him, but his own people received him not. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh brought by the three kings of the east were made by him, but his own people received him not. No room in the inn, no room for its Savior. Room for pleasure, but no room for Jesus. Room for parties, but no room for Jesus. Room for frolicking, but no room for Jesus. Room for frivolity, but no room for Jesus. Room for lustful dancing, but no room for Jesus. Room for liquor, but no room for Jesus. Room for parties, but no room for Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The birds were his, but his own received him not. The mountains of Judea were his, but his own received him not. The lakes that nestled in and were framed by those mountains were his, but his own received him not. The river that made it reptilic crawl toward the ocean was made by him, but his own people received him not. The lips that turned him away were made by him, but the wearer of those lips received him not. The hands that closed the door of the inn were made by him, but those that held those hands received him not. The inn that was full of everybody except it had no room for the Christ child was made by him, but those that occupied the inn received him not. Something awful said about that. I'd hate to think that I'd go to my birthplace and be a reproach. I do not think that I deserve a monument in the city of my birth, but I'm glad that I am an honored guest in the city of my birth. I'm glad that people still write me from the city of my birth and tell me that they're glad that I was born in Italy, Texas, and sometimes I'll get a letter and somebody will say, we're proud of you, and we're thankful and grateful that you were born in Italy, Texas. But our Savior came to the place of his birth, his birthplace, and his own received him not. That is in all. He came to his own country, and his own people received him not. You recall the story how that they fled the country and fled to Egypt because of Herod's decree that all the male children would be killed. But the air that Herod breathed was his, but Herod received him not. And the water that Herod drank was his, but Herod received him not. And the food that Aaron ate was his, but Herod received him not. And the clothing that Herod wore was his, but Herod received him not. And the jewels that bedecked his hands were his, but Herod received him not. And the cedars that held his house were his, but Herod received him not. And the Tyrian tapestry that decorated his parlor was his, but Herod received him not. And the sun that gave him light by day was made by Jesus, but Herod received him not. And the moon and the stars that performed beautifully at night, providing a heavenly chandelier to oversee the earthly sanctuary, was made by Christ, but Herod received him not.
and the rain that gave water and life to the crops were given by Jesus and made by Jesus, but his own country received him not. And the mount across from the temple site was his, but there was no room for Jesus. Room in his country for Herod, and room in his country for the Pharaohs, and room in his country for the kings and the queens and the doctors and the lawyers, and room for the perverts, and room for the sodomites, and room for the drunkards, and room for the people of sin, and room for the dope heads, and room for the Christ rejectors, and room for the Pharisees, and room for the Sadducees, and room for the scribes, but no room for Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only, oh, by the way, I love my country. I love my country. And I'm thankful that I'm not a reproach to my country. I'm not the most famous man in this country, and those that know me would not call me the most popular man in this country, but but I served my country in World War II. I served in the infantry. I served the paratroopers. I have a good record in the service, and I have a good record of paying my taxes, and I believe in paying taxes, and have a little patience with those that don't, those that talk about a strong America and won't give a dime to make a strong America, those that talk about defending our nation and won't buy one gun or won't pay the salary of one man to be in the armed forces. I do not particularly think our tax system is proper, and I'd love to see it change. I'd love to see it change where everybody pays 10% of all he makes, and that's the size of it. But I don't like the tax structure in America necessarily. But I paid my taxes, and I'm an honest man, and in my country I have respect and I have a good name. But here's the Son of God. Here's the Creator of the universe. Here's the King of Kings. Here's the Lord of Lords. Here's the Lord of Glory. Here's the God of the heavens and the God of eternity. Here's the pre-existent God. Here's the omnipotent God. Here's the omniscient God. Here's the omnipresent God. He comes to his own birthplace, and they receive him not. And all that was there was the object of his creation. And all that was there belonged to him, but his own birthplace received him not. He comes to his own country, and he loved his country. He loved the Jews. He himself had Jewish blood in his veins, and he gave us a Bible, a Jewish Bible, and a Jewish heritage, and a Judeo-Christian philosophy. And he loved that little nation, his own country, but his own country received him not. Oh, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came not only to his own country, but he came to his own city. I don't mean the city of his birth now. I mean the city of his ministry. He came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He loved it. Remember how he overlooked the city and he said, from the Mount of Olives, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a mother hen would gather chicks, and thou wouldst not. He loved that little city. Oh, he loved it with all his heart. And yet, the city of his ministry, his own hometown received him not. His own country received him not. And his own city received him not. The garden from which he was betrayed was made by him. He came to it, and his own received him not. The tree on which he was crucified was the object of his creation. He came to his own, and his own people received him not. The hill where they placed the cross was created by him, for without him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator, and by him all things consist. And he came to his own city of Jerusalem, and his own people there received him not. The stones in which he was placed, the sepulcher that surrounded his body, and the stones of that sepulcher were object of his creation, but his own people received him not. The trees under which he prayed in Gethsemane in his garden, neath the stars of the night, walked the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees, those gnarled olive trees that are there now, perhaps the same ones that canopied Jesus and gave him shade while he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Those trees were made by Jesus, He came to his own streets, and his own people wouldn't let him walk his own streets. He came to his own trees, and his own people wouldn't let him find shade and refuge under them. He came to his own hills, and he was cast out of the Judean hills. He came into his own creation, and his own people received him not. The donkey on which he rode was made by him, but his own people received him not. The stones that made the streets were made by him, but his own people received him not. And the rock that walled their houses was made by him, but his own people received him not. And the site of the holy temple was made by him, but his own people received him not. And the gold on the mercy seat was made by him, but the people of the mercy seat received him not. And the silver of the vessels, the holy vessels, was made by him, but his own people received him not. And the altar, the brazen altar, and if a lamb that was slain on that altar was made by him, he was the creator, but his own people of the altar received him not. And the candlestick that provided light for the holy place was made by him, and the oil that was in that candlestick was made by him, and the olives from which that oil was made were made by him, and the trees on which that olive grew were made by him, and yet the people of the candlestick received him not. The table of showbread was made by him, and the people that observed the showbread received him not, and yet the table on which the bread sat was made by him, and the bread that sat on the table was made by him. And the grain from which the bread was made by him. And the fields where the grain grew was made by him. And the water that watered the grain so it might grow was made by him. And the sun that germinated the seed on which the fields could give their golden harvest were made by him. Oh, how sad it is that here comes the Savior, the Lamb of God, the darling of heaven, God's only acceptable sacrifice. He comes to his own little city of his birth, O little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. He came to his own city where he was born, and he came as God's Lamb to live and die that they may have life eternal, and his own people received him not. He came to his own country, and the people of that country received him not. He came to his own city of his ministry, and the city received him not. Yet the foxes had holes, and the birds had nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. No room for Jesus. Room for Barabbas, but no room for Jesus. Room for Pilate, but no room for Jesus. Room for the high priest, but no room for Jesus. Room for Herod, but no room for Jesus. Room for the rich men, but no room for Jesus. Room for the generals and soldiers of the army, but no room for Jesus. Something awful said about that. 2,000 years has passed, and here in our city, it's still the same. Look at our city. In our schools, there's room for geography, but no room for Jesus. Room for philosophy, but no room for Jesus. Room for English, but no room for Jesus. Room for math, but no room for Jesus. Room for worldly philosophies, but no room for Jesus. Room for the cults, but no room for Jesus. Room for Satan worship, but no room for Jesus. Room for the sex education, but no room for Jesus. Room for the pervert, but no room for Jesus. Room for Shakespeare, but no room for Jesus. Room for Tennyson, but no room for Jesus. Room for Ingersoll, but no room for Jesus. Room for Tom Paine, but no room for Jesus. Room for pornography, but no room for Jesus. Room in our schools for liquor, but no room for Jesus. Room for dope, but no room for Jesus. Room for rock music, but no room for Jesus. Room for cursing, but no room for Jesus. Room for football, but no room for Jesus. Room for tobacco, but no room for Jesus. Room for little legs showing burlesque queen majorettes, but no room for Jesus. Room for adultery, but no room for Jesus. Room for homosexuals, but no room for Jesus. Room for the playboy philosophy, but no room for Jesus. Room for filth and vile cursing and profanity, but no room for Jesus. Room for pep rallies, but no room for Jesus. Room for Penthouse magazine, but no room for Jesus. Room for plays, but no room for Jesus. Room for concerts, but no room for Jesus. Room for heathenism, but no room for Jesus. Room for evolution, but no room for Jesus. Room for paganism, but no room for Jesus. Room for humanism, but no room for Jesus. Room for socialism, but no room for Jesus. Something awful sad. Let me tell you something, brother. I don't know what you're going to do, but blessed be God, I'm going to find room for Jesus in my life this Christmas season. I'm not going to go with the heathen people and live like they live and say, I've got time for parties. I've got time for Christmas trees. I've got time for wreaths. I've got time for buying. I've got time for selling. I've got time for family. I've got time for meals. I've got time for gala occasions. I've got time for decorations. I've got time, but I'm not going to have time for Jesus. Listen, I can't make the heathen public schools let Jesus come in, but I can stand tonight and I can cry aloud to my members who sit in the pews tonight and say, you don't have to have a Christless Christmas. You let Jesus come in. How tragic, he came to his own birthplace and his own people there received him not. He came to his own country, but his own people in that country received him not. He came to his own city received him not. I'm not the most popular man in Hammond, but the people in Hammond, they know we're here, they respect us. Never been a mayor of this city since I've been here with whom I was not a personal friend. I have in my office a key presented to the mayor, key to this city presented to the mayor. And I'm sure the many things about my preaching and my stand they don't like. But I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. There's not a church in Hammond where the businessmen like to hire their members like the new members of First Baptist Church in Hammond. And there's not a school in this area where the businessmen like to hire their students more than Howells Anderson College and Hammond Baptist High School. Why? Because we teach the work ethic. We teach being on time. And brother, if you're a lazy rascal and don't get to work on time and lay home in bed and are not a good representative of your church and your school and your Christ, don't you tell them, I know you. Don't tell them you're from First Baptist Church or Howells Anderson College. Jesus came to his own city. I love this city. I love all the cities where I pastored. I love to drive down the streets of Marshall, Texas. And remember, I worked at J.C. Penney Company while I was in college. Pastored a church up in the country. And worked for a year and a half at J.C. Penney Company. You'll forgive me for boasting just a little bit. But I worked a half a day every day. Went to work at 12, worked till 5. And a half a day every week I was salesman at that J.C. Penney store. I sold more merchandise than any person that worked there all week, all day long. I led the store in sales. You can go back and check the records. If they have them, I led the store in sales. Every selling contest they had there, I won. I worked for 60 cents an hour and finally got raised to 75 cents an hour. And I sold more men's suits than ever been sold in the history of that J.C. Penney store. And I led the nation a year or two in selling men's suits. I can go back there now and they'd hire me if I needed a job at J.C. Penney store in Marshall, Texas. I'm saying I love it. Love that town. I love the town of Garland, Texas. For 7 years almost, I pastored there. And I, in many ways, I grew up in the ministry there. That little town, because of our church at one time, the town, Garland, Texas, now has 160,000 people or more. When I left it had 27,000 people. At one time, one family of every seven in that entire little city belonged to the church that I pastored. And because of Miller Road Baptist Church and its influence, not one drop of legal liquor was ever sold in Garland, Texas. It was illegal to sell liquor of any kind in Garland, Texas. It may still be that way. I don't know. You'll forgive me for saying it. When I left Garland, Texas, the mayor of the city said, this is the most tragic thing that's ever happened to this town. Jack Hiles has had more influence for righteousness than any man's ever lived here. But Jesus went to his hometown, and they received him, not his hometown of Nazareth. Not only the birthplace of Bethlehem, not only his own country, not only his own, the city he loved so dearly, Jerusalem, but his hometown, where he was a carpenter in Joseph's carpenter shop, where he worked with his hands and took care of his mother, and where he made a work with his hands in the carpenter shop. The hill down which he was thrown in his own hometown of Nazareth was made by him, but his own hometown received him not. The synagogue from which he was expelled when he preached his first sermon was made by him, but his hometown received him not. The garment on the rabbi of the synagogue that led in his expulsion was made by him, but his own hometown received him not. The trees that snuggled on the hillside of that lovely little city nestled in Galilee were made by him, but as the people who sat under the shade of those trees received him not. The room for the hospitals was made by him, but no room for the great physician. The room of the philosophers were made by him, but no room for the truth. The room of the flowers were made by him, but no room for the lily of the valley. Room for the streams, but no room for the living water. His own classmates received him not. His own pastor received him not. His own teachers received him not. His own brothers received him not. His own sisters received him not. His own customers received him not. His own fellow workers received him not. His own playmates received him not. His own neighbors received him not. His own close friends received him not. I often think about how it must have been when he came back to preach in his home synagogue. Can you think how happy Mary must have been? I've always preached a sermon here in his own home synagogue. I remember when I went back to the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, and preached my first time. My pastor was so proud. He asked me to come preach a revival meeting. And I went and preached on a Sunday morning, looked out and saw the people that taught me when I was a junior high student and a high school student. And I saw the people there that had helped teach me all that I ever knew. And they sat out there and they beamed as their preacher boy had come back home to preach. And my mother was so proud. And I think my sister wasn't too upset about it then, but my mother was so proud. And I was their young boy come home to preach. Can you see Jesus standing in his own synagogue to preach? Can you see the face on Mary? Can you see the smile on the faces of the neighbors? Can you see the rabbi of the synagogue, his choice young student and young member has come back home? Can you see how proud they must have been? And yet there burned in the breast of Jesus a message he knew they wouldn't want to hear. And he stood up and he began to preach from Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The poor? When he finished his sermon, they railed on him and kicked him out of the synagogue and took him out to the hill of precipitation and kicked him out of his own city. His own city received him not. Not welcome in his own house. Not welcome in his own school. Not welcome in his own synagogue. He sees the streets on which he walked. He sees the house and where he lived. He sees the stores where he traded. He sees the schools he attended. He sees the synagogue where he learned and read and chanted and was taught. Yet they received him not. It's awful sad to me. Ask a question. How could you help but love him after all he gave up for you? And then his own nation received him not. How he loved those Jewish people. Chosen by him, but rejected him. Blessed by him, but rejected him. Protected unusually and uniquely by him, but rejected him. Led across and through the Red Sea by him, but rejected him. Led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night for 40 years, and yet rejected him. Fed with manna from heaven's cupboard for 40 years, yet rejected him. Got water from the rock in Horeb that was smitten by Moses and spoken to by Moses, and yet rejected him. Taken to the land of milk and honey, and yet rejected him. Given an everlasting promise that land was theirs, and they rejected him. You know, the older I get, the harder it is to be rejected, and the harder it is to make folks mad. I still preach what I think I ought to preach. It's not as easy as it used to be. Not as easy. I sometimes close the door in my study and wish I didn't have to do it anymore. I sometimes go to a motel room after making a crowd a little offended at me at night. I go to a motel room in a distant city. And sometimes I just wish I could be a patriarch and grow old of being beloved by all. But you can't do it. There's a stand to take. And there's right. And there's wrong. And there's truth. And there's error. And there's good. And there's bad. And there's a message that must be preached if the nation's going to be spared. And preachers have got to hear it. And God's folks have got to hear it. And Jesus said, "I have to come. I have a message. If my own hometown rejects me, I still have come to seek and to save." the lost. If my own nation rejects me, I still have come to seek and to save the lost. If my own birthplace rejects me, I still came to seek and to save the lost. And hallelujah, tonight, Jesus was rejected.
A man that was rejected by his own. And then he came to his own bodies. He came to hands that he made, and those hands beat him. He came to tongues that he made, and those tongues cursed him. He came to eyes that he made, and those eyes disdained him. He came to hearts that he made, and those hearts hated him. He came to minds that he made, and those minds refused him. He came to lips that he made, and those lips spat on him. He came to ears that he made, and those ears were deaf to him. He came to feet that he made, and they ran to kill him. He came to fingers that he made, and they plucked his beard. He came to the wills that he made, and they rejected him. He came to arms that he made, and they flayed at him. He came to mouths that he made, and they reviled him. He came to his own. These hands are not mine, they're his. These eyes are not mine, they're his. These ears are not mine, they're his. This mind is not mine, it's his. These arms are not mine, they're his. These hands are not mine, they're his. This body is not mine, it's his. These legs are not mine, they're his. These feet are not mine, they're his. This heart is not mine, it's his. He came to his own creation and his own people. Refused him and received him not. It hurt him to be rejected by his own hometown. It hurt him to be rejected by his own country. It hurt him to be rejected by his own city. It hurt him to be rejected by his own birthplace. It hurt him to be rejected by his own nation. But add all the hurt him and now. Add all the hurt that he felt when the rabbi of the synagogue said, let's throw him out. And add to that all the hurt he felt when the people he grew up with said, away with him. And add to that all the hurt that he felt when he was kicked down the hill of precipitation, down out of the city of Nazareth. And add to that all the hurt he felt when as a babe there was no room for him in the inn. And add to that all the hurt he felt when foxes scurred their holes and birds flew to their nest at night, but he had no place to lay his head, and he put his head on the rocky pillows of the Mount of Olives. And add to that all the hurt he felt when Judas placed the kiss of betrayal upon his brow. And add to that all the hurt he felt when his disciples forsook him and fled. And add to that all the hurt that he felt when Peter cursed and swore and said, I don't belong to this crowd. And add to that all the hurt that he felt when soldiers pierced his hands and feet and nailed him to a cross. And add to that all the hurt that he felt when he was beaten beyond recognition with the cat of nine tails. And add to that all the hurt that he felt when he heard those from his dying say, crucify him! Crucify him! Let Barabbas go! Crucify him! All the hurt that he felt. Add to that all the hurt he felt because he could not walk the shores of his own sea, because he was not welcome with those that guarded the shores. And added that all the hurt that he felt because he could not sit in the seat of his own synagogue, because he came into his own and those that guarded those seats would not let him sit there. And added that all the hurt that he felt because he could not live in his beloved city, because the people that governed the city cast him outside the city. And added that all the hurt that he felt because his own nation rejected him. And added that all the hurt that he felt because the things that he made were not his, were not allowed. He was not allowed in them or on them or at them or to them or with them, because his own people received him not. And all that hurt cannot compare to the hurt he feels tonight. When you, as one of his redeemed, blood-bought children, do not have place for him in your life during the Christmas season. No room in the inn. No room in Jerusalem. No room in Bethlehem. No room in Nazareth. No room on the Judean hills. No room at Pilate's hall. No room in the courts of Herod. No room in the holy city. No room on the earth But oh, the hurt our Lord feels when He knows your plans for this Christmas season. And He's not a part of them. Yea, He's not them. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. I don't know what you're going to do in the next 2 weeks and 2 days, but I'm going to make room for Jesus. I'm going to make room in my heart for Him. I'm going to make room in my mind for Him. I'm going to make room for this book in my life. And I'm going to realize that Christmas time is a time when Jesus comes and says, "Don't forget me. Don't forget my virgin birth. Don't forget my coming to the earth. Don't forget my incarnation. Don't forget that I became flesh." What are your plans? Be out of church on Christmas Day? Paganism. What are your plans? Miss Wednesday night prayer meeting? Heathenism. What are your plans? Shopping, buying, selling, decorating, cooking, and eating. No room for Jesus. He still comes to His own. His own received Him not. He comes this year to this area and says, "I want you to receive me." Let's make room for Him. And tonight, if you've never received Him as your Savior, make room for Him. At the heart's door, the Savior's knocking. At the heart's door, fast closed by sin. Oh, don't you hear Him gently knocking? Draw the bolt and let Him in. Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and knocking. He's knocked before. This is the question He asks once more. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, "What will He do with me?" I close with this. I do not think I've ever lived a time in my life where I, any as much as I do now, wanted to make my life count for God. I don't think I've ever known a time in these 58 years of living and almost 40 years of preaching when I wanted to be totally the zealot I ought to be. I don't ever recall a time when I felt like it was as urgent as it is tonight. Oh, how America needs preachers. And how America needs churches like this and Christians like these. How America needs, and God needs His people in America to mean business for God. There was a Christmas season, and my heart felt I needed to take time to let Jesus come in. It's this Christmas season. Let Him in your life this Christmas. Let Him find room to lodge in your inn. Let Him find room in your heart and your schedule, your time, your life, and your mind. Let Him find time. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Would you receive Him tonight? If you've never taken time to say, "Jesus, come into my heart, into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Tonight, if you've never taken time, we're going to sing in just a few minutes. Leave your seat and walk down the aisles and let someone tell you how that you can have Christ come into your heart. And you can know what the apostle meant when he said, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." And He'll come into you to live and make you His child and write your name in heaven and forgive your sins. But I'm talking to people who've been preparing for Christmas and who've not yet even read the Christmas story one time. I'm talking to people preparing for Christmas, but you're reading the Bible less than you did a month ago. I'm talking to folks preparing to go home for the holidays in Howells Anderson College. And all you're thinking about is getting to go home and getting to get presents and getting to be with family and getting to be with friends. You're not thinking much about Jesus, are you? You wouldn't want to think about Him at the time of His birth, would you? He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message, however it ought to be accepted. And bless the response, however it ought to be given. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The choir will sing, and you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you.